The Bank with the Clock, the Industrial State Bank, Michigan Avenue at Portage Street and at Washington Square, brings you the 157th in a series of programs designed to help you know your city. Put your extra cash to work. Invest in Industrial State Bank savings certificates, a savings plan where individuals as well as business firms can earn a sizable return on deposits. Up to 2.5% interest is paid on Industrial State Bank savings certificates, and these certificates are available in multiples of $100. They're negotiable at any time and are guaranteed up to $5,000 by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Stop in tomorrow at the Industrial State Bank, Michigan Avenue at Portage Street, or at Washington Square, and ask any teller about the Industrial State Bank savings certificates. For your convenience, the Industrial State Bank is open this evening from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And now, here's the editor of Know Your City, Dr. Dunbar.
Most of us, when we're downtown in Kalamazoo, have rather definite objectives. We have to do some shopping in certain stores, visit the bank, or conduct business in some office. Intent on our errands, we're apt not to see the interesting things and the interesting people about us. The other day, I set out just to roam around the downtown section on a weekday morning to see what I could see and hear what I could hear. Well, the first thing that struck my eye was a lot of red coats and dresses in a woman's shop. A red that is out of this world. And that reminded me that some chap that investigates people's tastes found out that red is the favorite color of most people. And then here's a bake shop with several birthday cakes on display. One has a Donald Duck design on top. And here's a men's hat store. Seems to me more men used to wear caps than now. The 5 and 10 store coming up. Well, let's go in. First, there's the odor. A subtle blend of donuts, cheap perfume, new merchandise, and barbecue sauce. On the window, a sign. Let us count our blessings. Democracy works here. A vast display of nail polish of any color you want in tiny bottles. 10 cents plus 2 cents federal tax. A woman tries to intrigue me into having my picture taken, and she still smiles when I reply with a firm no. There on a rack, probably 200 ready-tied, four-in-hand neckties, 39 cents apiece. Wonder what kind of men wear those nowadays. A lot of live plants, mostly ivy. Easter eggs with huge cellophane bows around them. Mouse traps, 5 cents. Now, how can they afford to make a nice mouse trap and sell it for a nickel? When the dealers all down the line get a cut, how much did the maker get? I noticed that they're made in a place called Lititz, Pennsylvania. Never heard of that before. Framed pictures of movie stars with all the glamour. Greeting cards on a huge display rack. Birthday, wedding, sympathy, convalescent, comic convalescent. Sign on the wall, ask about our layaway plan. Well, that's a new one on me. I didn't know the 5 and 10 stores had layaway plans. Well, now to a classy department store. In the window, blue denim sports outfits for women. Inside the door, the odor of perfume and powder. Clerks arranging jewelry, looking a little bored. Scholarly-looking man browsing among the books. Woman clerk in the basement, with a pleasant look and a big wad of hair on her head with a yellow pencil stuck into it. Very businesslike. Another 5 and 10. A long lunch bar with about 25 people sitting on stools, most of them drinking coffee. A little girl with her mother. Why isn't she in school? Munching a donut. Ah, here is something that brings back childhood memories. Jack's. Remember the game? You get 10 jacks and a rubber ball, all for a dime. Up the street now to that new building the telephone company is constructing, 7 stories high. Just to think, all of that for a telephone company. What in Tunket will they use all that space for? Workmen wearing metal helmets. A stonemason calmly chiseling away high above the street, puffing his pipe. In front, workmen digging up the street. Wonder why they're always digging up the pavement in Kalamazoo. Seems like there are 3 solutions to all our problems in Kalamazoo. Restrict parking, cut down a tree, or dig up the street. The Pythian building. And why do they call it that? I went over and looked at the list of tenants. Not a Pythian listed. A bookstore. Ask the clerk what his bestsellers are. Cheaper by the Dozen is going great guns. The Big Fisherman by Lewis Douglas is almost an all-time bestseller. Fountainhead, although not a new book, is a steady good seller, as is Knock on Any Door. Jewelry stores, a tiny watch that sells for $195. By the way, the shoe stores seem to all have modernistic fronts. Nylons for $1.29. Visions of the war days when you lined up to buy them at any price. A drug store, so-called. In the window, gloves, pills, window cleaner, clothespins, scouring powder, and candy. That candy deserves special mention. 2 pails of those old-fashioned peppermint and wintergreen lozenges that we used to get in a paper sack when Dad came home from Hubbard's grocery store. A hardware store with spring in the window, rakes and hoes and flower pots and seeds. And then the bus station. 2 old gentlemen reading a paper and a pale-looking, well-dressed man past middle age, completely absorbed in a mystery comic magazine. A man and his wife sitting patiently waiting for the bus and looking very contented. The schedule indicates that about 75 buses leave Kalamazoo during an average 24-hour period. That's a lot of buses. They have a mechanical shoe shiner in the bus station. Put a dime in the slot, put your shoe under one brush for the wax, and then under the other for the polish. A man calling a bus over the public address system, utterly unintelligible. By the way, remember those leather-lung fellows that used to call the trains in the big terminals before the day of the PA systems? They really knew how to enunciate. Out of the bus station now and down the street past a barber shop, where a sign reads, "Closed at noon Saturday." In a country town, that's when the business of the tonsorial artist really got going. Coconuts in the window of a fruit store. When have you had a fresh coconut? I haven't tasted one for years. Into a pet store where there are canaries, a parrot, and 2 monkeys. The monkeys attract droves of children every Saturday, I was told. Out into the cold again, and noticing a group of workmen drilling holes in the sidewalk for those parking meters. A Chinese laundry, Sam Lee. Wonder how our Chinese citizens are making out in the laundry and restaurant business. Walk down the street now to the post office. And then I remember that the Social Security office is located there. So in to see that jovial friend of mine, Newton Lincoln, who's the manager. And ended up by asking him and his assistant, Mervyn Black, to come along and join me for this broadcast. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Black for a few minutes so they can tell you their own story. Mr. Lincoln, I believe the Kalamazoo office of the United States Social Security Administration is a field office. How many counties and what ones do you serve?
There are 5 counties, Dr. Dunbar. Berrien, Cass, Kalamazoo, St. Joseph, and Van Buren.
How many such field offices are there in Michigan?
We have 19 in Michigan.
After 12 years of service in Kalamazoo, Mr. Lincoln, what do you think has been accomplished, and what do you feel that you still need to work on?
Well, Dr. Dunbar, it is gratifying to see the number of people in town who seem to know who we are when they see us on the street. It has seemed to mean that our office must have made itself of enough service to Kalamazoo to be known to a lot of people. But when things happen as they have this week, I begin to wonder. Mr. Black, suppose you tell our radio listeners what did happen.
Well, as you know, all of the daily papers in our area ran a story. That story was about the importance of workers who have reached the age of 65, coming in or riding in to the office, about their rights under the Social Security Act. We also said that survivors of workers who had died should get in touch with us within 3 months of the date of death. Well, as you know, last Monday there were 69 calls at the office, and people are still coming in, to say nothing of the letters we have received to be answered.
That's right, we've certainly aroused interest, but has there been anything startling about that?
Yes, there certainly was. For instance, we have found practically none of the people who we talked with have been aware that provided the worker has worked long enough to be insured, any wage earner after he has reached the age of 65 can qualify for payments for any month in which he does not work, whether he's unemployed, whether his unemployment is temporary, or for no matter what cause. They have also had the opinion that an unemployed wage earner over 65 cannot collect his unemployment insurance and his Social Security at the same time.
There were several such cases where some benefits had been lost, weren't there?
Yes, one man had lost 2 months' benefits because he was collecting his unemployment insurance and he waited his 20 weeks before he came to the office.
Perhaps our listeners would like to know how that works, so I'll take a minute to tell them. Whenever a qualified wage earner over 65 is out of work for a month, or whenever a qualified wage earner dies, our office must be contacted within 3 months in order to avoid any loss of payments. Under the law, we can only pay for 3 months prior to the month the claim is filed. Thus, a claim filed in March, for instance, could only be retroactive to December.
That's what I had to tell one man on Monday. His case was a little different because he failed to come in to file. He thought that he'd be going back to work any day, when he had actually been out of work for 18 months, that is, since September of 1947. But we could only go back to December 1948 and paying him. Of course, in part, it was his fault, but sometimes I wonder, Mr. Lincoln.
Wonder what?
Well, sometimes I wonder whether we'll ever be able to be sure that at least most of the people know what their Social Security rights are. Perhaps I'm expecting too much.
You hit our biggest problem, Mr. Black. How do we make sure that people know about things? We have our pamphlets and the radio and the newspapers, but how can we make sure that people hear what we say or read what we write? How can we best help people to understand their rights and benefits under Social Security? That is one of the things that the recent news article brought out. In our desire to reach the people who might be losing possible benefits, we also raised a lot of misunderstanding and apprehension with others. They interpreted what we said to mean that everybody had to file for benefits within 3 months of reaching age 65 or they would be penalized. Others thought that they would lose all rights to any benefits at any time if they did not contact us within 3 months of reaching age 65. You can imagine the effect on someone who was considerably past that age and still working. He'd never been in to see us because he'd never been out of work. Someone told him about the news article and he didn't read it the way it was written. Well, we had a lot of people like that in our office on Monday also.
Well, maybe that was all to the good of the long run. At least, they had a chance to be told what their rights were, and at least they got interested in the subject.
That's right, Mr. Black, and maybe we are getting towards our goal after all.
Well, what is that goal, Mr. Lincoln?
It's the goal of all our officers, Dr. Dunbar, to be of the best service to the people in our area and to make that service known. That's why we are here today. We want the people of Kalamazoo and southwestern Michigan to know that we are here for service. We want them to know that when someone is going to work for the first time in commerce or industry, that they can get their Social Security cards and numbers here at this office.
Thank you, Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Black. I think that acquaints us all a little better with what goes on in room 17 of the post office building.
The bank with the clock, the Industrial State Bank, Michigan Avenue at 40th Street, and at Washington Square, has been pleased to bring you another in the series of programs Know Your City. They hope you've enjoyed this broadcast concerning downtown Kalamazoo, and particularly the interviews with Newton Lincoln and Mervyn Black of the local Social Security office. The Industrial State Bank is a Kalamazoo bank. Yes, it's a bank that's owned and operated by your friends and neighbors in Kalamazoo with two convenient locations, Michigan Avenue at 40th Street and at Washington Square. This is WKZO with studios in Radio City, Kalamazoo.